9:16-19. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version, and if you just permit me. I'm not going to walk it slow, but I just need to set a stage. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Set the table, Reverend.
Matthew 16:13-19. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Little Rock. And on this rock," allow me to insert this, "upon this rock, premise, principle, foundation." Sometimes we miss that, but I want us to read that again. "You are Peter, and on this rock," I'm setting this up for you, Peter. "This is where I'm going to build my church. This is how I'm going to build it on. This is the rock I'm going to build it on. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." You may be seated.
Yeah.
I want to talk about foundational integrity in a shifting world. Foundational integrity in a shifting world. Every building has a foundation. That foundation sets up how a building will function in all types of seasons, weather conditions, and all types of potential calamity.
Yeah.
That's why when you see some structures that go up, they meet certain codes in order that they can withstand certain things that come. Down in Florida, after all the major hurricanes that have happened in the past.
Yeah.
All those hurricanes caused every single building ordinance to change.
Yeah.
They had to now not only build with a sturdy foundation, but every building had to become more resistant to potential hurricanes.
Uh-huh.
Every building has a foundation.
Hmm.
Every operation has a foundation. Every church ought to have a foundation.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. You see, we have become so consumed with the structure, with the methodology, with the practice of our faith, that we have gone away from what makes us strong. See, even in a world that constantly changes, you need to have something that is strong to keep you in the midst of shifting times. With all that's happening, you have to be able to build your life on something that's going to keep you.
Yeah.
When everything else changes. When Jesus raises the question, he raises the question because he knows that life is happening all around him and his disciples.
Yes, Lord.
He knows that the ministry has buzz. He knows that people are wondering about what is this dude doing that is so different.
Yeah.
Remember now, Jesus was pretty popular. Mm-hmm. Like anything else that is popularized, people were drawn to him because he was talking different.
Right.
He was doing stuff that just didn't seem to be like everybody else.
That's right. That's right.
He didn't consume himself with temple politics and all that kind of stuff. He was concerned about people right where they were. He was concerned that people had shalom in their lives. He was concerned that they had wholeness in their lives. He was concerned about their physical healing, their mental and emotional healing. He was concerned about their freedom to worship. Jesus was different. And Jesus was popular. So he stops and says, so what are they saying out there? Not from a place of an ego trip, of a place of just trying to see and gauge what's going on. So they just laid it out for him, said, hey, well, they think you're your cousin, John the Baptist. Some say you're one of the prophets. They know there's something about you, but they haven't made a connection yet. So he's like, well, if they're saying that, I wonder, what do you think?
Yeah.
Come on now. Come on now.
Who do you say that?
Yes, sir.
You walk with me.
Right.
You're around me all the time.
Right.
So who do you think I am?
Right.
And Peter, for all the things that we say about Peter,
what do you say, really?
Peter had good sense even still. He may have been crazy, but he wasn't that crazy. He had enough insight to look at Jesus and say, you know what? You're the Christ. You're the one. Jesus looked back and said, well, guess what, man? Flesh and blood ain't told you this. But here is where Jesus lays out the blueprint for the birthing of the church. The birth of the church, yes, was Pentecost, but he lays out the blueprint before his death. Said, okay, you're Peter, you're a rock, but here is how this next move is going to be built. It's going to be built on a foundation like this. I'm going to build my church on this premise. I'm going to build it on faith in me. And it's going to be fortified in such a way that even hell can't do nothing to it. Let me be more contemporary. I'm going to build my church on the premise that I'm Christ, that God is overall, and there ain't a thing that anybody can do to change it. Let me take it another step. I'm building this thing on me, and no meeting or anything else can change it. So no matter what anybody does or says or thinks, the church is built on me.
That's right. Come on.
But I'm not going to leave you without just anything else.
Come on.
This is the part that we conveniently leave out. We shout off a building on God, but here's the part. He said, and I will give you, listen, authority. I will give you the keys. Keys are authority. I'm going to give you the authority to access access, the power you need to fulfill what I called you to fulfill. So whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you set free on earth will be set free in heaven. Which means, to me at least, that if my life in Christ is built on him, that even when the culture says that I need to think a different way, I am already on a premise and a promise that I serve the God of all this. And there's nothing that can influence me to change my mind about the direction that God wants to take me. So even if you think that you can't make it unless you do X, Y, and Z, God has already said, everything you need is already in me. And because it's already in me, if you're in me and I'm in you, I will also give you access to what you need to handle what you can't handle by yourself. You and I need a strong foundation. We can't continue to let everything in the world tell us that we can't trust God in this. We can't continue to live according to the shifting of the culture. We got to live according to the foundation that God has laid. So that as things come to and fro, we are able to look at it for what it is and we're able to approach it for what it is. The hardest thing that churches deal with is that somewhere along the line, we begin to try and fit in and try to do all this stuff, but we never go back to the foundation. I just shared with my church. We had a vision day 2 weeks ago, and then we had a meeting about our budget. And the one thing I kept saying is this: the budget is set not according to what we have, but according to the mission that God has set. Which means that we're coming into agreement with God about the vision that he has cast. Because our job is to facilitate that thing and trust him in the process and what? Do what we got to do to make it happen. It's all based upon not wants, but the vision. Can I take you one more step? Y'all are a few steps from being where you want to be. But now is the season to go back to the foundation. Why in the world has God given us the opportunity to build and to expand and to do all this stuff? It is not an ego trip. It is because within the house, God has given a vision and a purpose based on this premise that you know that Christ is Lord. And as Christ is Lord, then everything that he wants and desires is what we ought to want and desire. He cares about the poor. He cares about the rich. He cares about the maligned. He cares about all that stuff. But if we insulate ourselves, we'll never reach the promised land. He said, I'm going to build my church on the premise of who I am. So how do you see the integrity of this foundation? What in the world brings integrity to the ministry and mission of the local church? I got three things for you. You may not shout, but we gonna love anyhow, right? Let me shout with you all for the first thing. First thing that brings integrity to the foundation, brings integrity to the mission and the ministry of the church, is that there is no conjecture about who the head of the church is. There is no argument about who the head of the church is. Jesus said, who do they say I am? And then he came back within the group. He said, those folk only see me as certain things. But I need to know, who do you see me as? That was going to tell the story. Because a lot of people that say they're walking with Jesus don't really know who he is. All right, let's go. Because y'all got real quiet on me. Cool. All right, let's do this. A lot of people walking with Jesus don't know who Jesus is. And hear me when I say this. When you get saved, yes, he's your Savior. But now that your life has been changed, he has to become more than that. Because at this point, when your life is changed, everything else shifts. And when everything else shifts, he becomes more than just your Savior. He becomes Lord. He becomes healer. He becomes deliverer. He becomes all these different things. So when you look at it, God is not just one that gives you stuff because you cry about it. He's not like me when I got to deal with CJ from time to time and he begins to whine. No, God is the kind that says, if you walk with me, you'll learn some stuff about me. So who am I to you? If he is who you say.
Come on.
Something about your praise is different.
Yeah.
If Jesus is who he says, is who you say he is, there's something about your life is very different. If Jesus is who he say he is, you don't get into arguments about stuff. You deal with stuff from where he is. What does the Lord care about?
Yes, God.
Do you know? I'm not going to embarrass nobody, but you know he cares about it. Well, at least in my life, he cares if my marriage is all right. He cares if my son is raised properly in the fear and admonition of the Lord. God cares about if my body is healthy. God cares if I am concerned about those that are going through hell and high water. God cares about those that are struggling from day to day. God cares about those that are on the street. God cares about those who can't get off their feet. God cares about the addict. God cares about every single person that has been created in his image and his likeness. He cares about all that stuff. But if God cares about that, do we? And if we do, it's because we know that he's the head of this thing. And whatever God cares about, guess what? I care about it too. I don't have to argue, fuss, and fight. I don't have to try to get the preacher out of the pulpit. I ain't got to try to run nobody away. The conjecture is not there. Christ is the head of this thing. That's undisputed. Two. Integrity to the mission of the ministry of the church comes by revelation given by the God of the church. Listen. Who am I? You're Christ. Peter? Nobody revealed this to you but my Father in heaven. Revelation is important. Revelation is important. You got to be able to see stuff beyond today.
Yes, Lord.
You got to see more than Sunday morning. You got to see something more than next month. You got to see what God's got in store down the line. And here's the thing. Sometimes when revelation hits you, let me help some of y'all. It scares you half to death.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It'll scare you half to death because you're like, God, you talking to me? You're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that this is actually in my head. And you try to hold on to that thing because you don't know if you should share with anybody or if you should talk to anybody about it. Then all of a sudden, you hear something from the pulpit and it pricks at your heart and you want to shout, but you try to suppress it because it scares you half to death that the thing that God has told you just might come to pass. And lack success not because they don't have the talent, not because they don't have the gifts, but because in many cases they are afraid to succeed. Folk get scared. Folk get scared. Folk get scared. Because suddenly, it ain't working, I'm all right. Folk get scared.
Yeah.
Because when God speaks, I'm all right, y'all. Don't worry. Y'all still with me? All right. When God speaks, it messes with you to the point where now you got to make a decision.
Yeah.
Is this God or is this me? And when God says, trust me.
Yes, sir.
When God says, I'm in this.
Yes, sir.
When God says, this is going to work out.
Yeah.
When God says, you got a real understanding of who I am.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Then he does something amazing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Which is my last point, and I'm through.
Good.
He gives you access to the power you need.
Once you get
the revelation, once you get the reality of who God is, God then opens up the door to give you access to the power you need. That's why we can't skip over the next verse. You shouting off the foundation, but you still got to build the building. If the foundation is Christ is the head of the church, if the foundation is God will do what he said, if the foundation is based on the fact that yes, this is all going to come to pass, then you do need something else. You need access to what you need to promote that. Peter, I'm going to give you access. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. So whatever you bind on earth is already done in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So watch this. So whatever you got to do, if you got to bind up some bad attitudes, guess what? I'm giving you access to the power to bind up that negative stuff. And when you go ahead and bind that up, I will confirm it in heaven and make sure it's bound. But when you need something to happen, like you need resources to advance the mission, when you lose your faith and you lose your joy and you lose your praise, watch what I'll do. I'll lose it in heaven, which means I'm going to back you up and confirm that this thing's got to happen. But you need the action.
Yes, sir.
So, if the church is going to keep on rolling, it's no longer about who the head of the church is. It's no longer about if you got the revelation. Now it's about taking full advantage of your access. So, here's what I need y'all to do. Can y'all do something for me? Nobody asked me to say this, but I think it just needs to be said on a church anniversary. Can y'all do something for me? Here's the word. Build.
That's it.
Let me say it again. Build. Now some of y'all thinking I'm just talking about that new church that I've been seeing on that property. I ain't just talking about that. That's just going to be what? The place where all the stuff's going to happen. But in the meantime, while the architect is still working on the design, while the architect is still trying to make that thing look pretty, I need you to build. Build up what? Build up your faith. Build up your prayer life. Build up your fellowship. Build up your study life. Build up what you need. So when Christ looks at you and asks you the question, who do you say that I am?
You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're
So, build. Doc, if y'all build, can I get some Field of Dreams theology? If y'all build it, they will come. And they'll come because they know that they're running into evidence. And you remember from this morning, you are the evidence. But just in case you don't like being the evidence, let me give you a little more Bible. The Bible says, now faith